Earlier this month, the Historical Institutional Abuse Inquiry, the HIA Inquiry, submitted its report to the First and Deputy First Ministers, men and women who were vulnerable children in care in Northern Ireland between 1922 and 1995, have come before the inquiry to give accounts of abuse in their childhood. Today, that report will be formally published. The Ireland correspondent Chris Buckler with us now. Just set out for us, Chris, what has happened.
Yeah, we get a real sense, just even from what you said there, Stephen, of the scale of this inquiry. Between the 1920s and the 1990s, that's the period that this inquiry has been looking at. And today, already, there have been some of those victims and survivors who have arrived to come and to try and find out exactly what the retired judge, Sir Anthony Hart, will say at 11 o'clock today when he sets out his conclusions, this inquiry. And in that conclusion, there will probably be some recognition that there were childhoods that were lost. But the key question for each of those people is, what will he recommend? Will there be an apology? And if so, by whom? And what will the nature of that apology be? And there's also this question of compensation, a very difficult one. Should these people who lost their childhoods effectively in many cases, they were physically or sexually abused in some cases, how do they get compensated, and from whom? Again, that question, for those years whenever they did suffer.
And what impact, Chris, does the fact that we don't have government now in Northern Ireland, that it's collapsed, have on this?
Well, it is a major issue for all of this. I mean, there are several issues in terms of what is sometimes legally called redress, but essentially kind of this issue of compensation. The first question is, who should pay that compensation if that is what is recommended? Should it be government or should it be the institutions themselves?
Well, who decides that, given where the institutions are? Who decides that?
Ultimately, there will be recommendations made in this, but the key question about this is, a lot of this will go to the executive to see what they can potentially do. And ultimately, there is a danger, if the executive doesn't get back up and running, that some of this, again, could leave people to wait. And of course, there have been people who have been waiting dozens of years in some cases to actually get their stories of suffering out and also to try and get some recognition of what happened to them. And there is a concern among some that they might have to wait longer if the executive does not come back up and running in a short amount of time.
Chris Buckler, thank you. Patrick Corrigan listening to that from Amnesty International. And I know, Patrick, from having spoken to some of those people representing victims, that they are deeply frustrated that there will potentially be another impasse now because of the executive collapsing.
Well, of course, that's right. I mean, there was a long campaign that preceded the establishment of the inquiry. There's been 4 years of the inquiry. It was extended for a further year because of the workload. So victims have already been waiting for a significant period. We've been working with a range of victims groups over these last number of years, including over the last year in working with them in putting together proposals for the sort of the model compensation scheme or redress scheme that Chris referred to. And we have delivered those reports to First Minister and Deputy First Minister over the last 6 months. Those have been sitting on their table for some period. We have asked them to do advance work in preparation for today. And of course, now when we come to D-Day, publication day, the office effectively doesn't exist or is only semi-functional. So of course, there is frustration that there will be now an indeterminate period of delay and uncertainty for victims because there's nobody properly at the executive table to take these sorts of decisions. It does not, however, stop officials getting to work in putting together an implementation plan for the recommendations that Sir Anthony is expected to make today.
And what do you expect him to say, Patrick, in terms of recommendations? What would you like him to say?
Well, I think, first of all, in terms of findings, I would be, frankly, surprised, shocked, if the inquiry doesn't find that there was catastrophic and widespread and systemic failings by the state and its duty of care to generations of children, as well as those who operated the homes. And that included religious orders, church-related organisations, private operators, and the state itself. So I think that's the headline finding that we would be surprised if it doesn't come to. And I sat through hearings over the last couple of years, and just from what I heard, and I didn't hear it all, but from what I heard, is clear that there was systemic failings on that scale. In terms of recommendations, First of all, I expect a straightforward recommendation that apologies need to be made wholeheartedly, fully on behalf of the state for its responsibility, but also by those who ran the homes where abuse was perpetrated on a widespread systemic basis. I think then we move on to the provision of redress for victims, and there can be different components to reparation or redress. A key one for victims is financial compensation. This has never, ever been about the money. It's been about truth and justice and a vindication of the pain and the stories of pain that they've told over the years to try and get recognition for what happened to them. But one way of saying sorry and meaning it is by the provision of financial compensation. Ultimately, that is the responsibility of the state, and we think the state, i.e. the Northern Ireland government, should take responsibility for the establishment and the funding of that scheme, and they should go after the religious orders, churches and the others who on the state's behalf effectively were subcontracted to run these homes. They have a responsibility to feed into that scheme as well.
Patrick, nice to talk to you today. Thank you very much indeed.